your interpretation has to be dropped. You have to learn how to listen to the real. So when reality approaches you, welcome it. If God comes towards you, if you cannot move towards Him, at least don't run away. And He is coming towards you in millions of ways. He wants to overpower you, to reclaim you. It is not only that you are seeking Him, He is also seeking you. In fact, your seeking is just pseudo. You talk about seeking God, but you don't really mean it. You would like to find Him, by the way. You don't want to stake anything. You don't want to pay for it. You don't want to earn Him. You would like Him to get free. That is not the way. You will have to lose yourself. You will have to lose all. People don't mean. And when God approaches them, and He approaches you, I have seen His hands many times coming close to you, and I have seen you running away. And again, when you are far away, you start seeking Him and you say, how to find God? Now this game has continued for too long, and it has become almost a habit that when He is far away you seek, when He comes close you escape. This pattern has to be broken. Our understanding is our understanding. Our interpretation is our interpretation. Beware. When reality approaches you, don't try to interpret. Just wait. Be patient. The reality that is coming closer to you will reveal itself to you. But before it reveals, if you take some interpretation to your heart, then you are again closed. You close your doors. And then there is no way to know what really was going to happen. Thank you. The bowels say, a man unknown to me and I, we both live together, but with a gap of millions of miles between us. That is what they call the essential man. You are two. One is the essential man at the center, and one is the acquired man at the periphery. And these two exist far apart. And you have become too much identified with the periphery. How to fall back to the center, to the essential man, the Aadhar Manus? Witnessing is the way. Do whatsoever you are doing, but remain a witness. Watch it, observe it. Continue to remember yourself. Walking on the roads, remember that there is a point inside you which is not walking, which has never walked, which cannot walk, which has no legs to walk. That point is your center. Through that center you will come to know the reality. The reality that bowels sing, nothing has happened and nothing will happen. What is there is there. Once you touch your source of permanence, your eternity, you have touched the eternity of life also. Parallel to you, things happen. If you are at the center, you are capable to look in the very center of life. If you are on the periphery, you are capable only to look at the periphery of life. Periphery goes on changing. Have you seen a bullock cart moving? The wheel moves. The wheel moves, goes on moving. But at the center of the wheel, something remains permanent. On that permanent hub, the wheel moves. On that unmoving hub, the wheel's movement exists. Exactly like that. You have a hub. That hub is unmoving. And you have a wheel-like personality that goes on moving. You have traveled far, thousands of miles and thousands of lives, and the wheel knows many roads and many paths, but the hub has remained where it is. Now, you can look at reality in two ways, either from the wheel, then everything is changing, every moment. are from the hub, then nothing is changing, nothing has happened, and nothing will happen. What is there is there. Find this hub of life by becoming a witness. One finds it. Eating, eat, but remember that there is a point inside you which has never eaten. Food goes into the body. Your consciousness remains watching. Somebody insults you. Anger arises. You remain a witness. The insult comes from outside, the anger arises on the periphery, and you remain at the center watching. Yes, somebody has done something, provoked your periphery, and there is anger on the periphery, and the anger is surrounding you like a smoke cloud, but you are at the hub watching. You are not identified with the periphery. Then the insult is also out and the anger is also out of you. Both are separate and far away. Both are different than you. When this awareness grows, dreaming stops by and by. When this awareness grows, the wheel moves slower and slower, because there is no point. You never move, so what is the point of traveling the whole earth? You remain the same, then desires slow down. One day it happens. The wheel is as silent, unmoving as the hub. That is the point when enlightenment happens. The bowels say, you must be single-minded to visit the court of my beloved. While you are simply witnessing, you are one. There is no duality in you. You are. That's all. So try to become one, single-minded. Whatsoever you are doing, try to become one. To say that you are dual is not true. You are many. You are a crowd. Not only that you are two, you are many. Bring these fragments together. Any one thing continuously followed will help you to crystallize. For example, meditators try to meditate continuously. They do thousand and one things, other things, but one thing continues as a current, as a thread running underground. They eat, but they make a meditation out of eating. They walk, but they make a meditation out of walking. They talk, but they make a meditation out of talking. They listen, but they listen meditatively. They do many things, but they connect everything by meditation. That becomes their one-mindedness. Lovers, the followers of the path of love, bowels, they make love their undercurrent. They eat, but they eat with love. They walk, but they walk with love, because the earth is a holy ground. They sit under a tree. They sit with love, because the tree is divine. They look at somebody, they look with love, because there also is divinity. Everywhere they see their beloved. In each movement, they remember their beloved. It becomes their constant remembrance. But whether on the path of meditation or on the path of love, one thing has to be done. Doing 1001 things, you have to connect them with one thing. That connection, that running thread, will make you one-pointed, one-minded. It will give you integration. In that integration, dreams dissolve. It is the crowd within you which dreams. It is the split that dreams. When the split is bridged, dreams disappear. Because then you start enjoying being here now so tremendously. Who bothers to desire? Who has time to think about the tomorrow? Today is more than enough. A single moment of undivided being is so big, bigger than eternity. Then nobody thinks about the past. Gone is gone. And nobody thinks about the future. That has not come yet, has not come yet. One simply goes deeper and deeper into the present, and that is the door of God. The present is the door, and your single-mindedness is the key. One has to become intensely aware or intensely loving. These are the only two keys which can bring man out of the state he is in. Either intense awareness
That is the path of meditation. Our intense total love, that is the path of devotion. But before man can attain to such intensity, either of awareness or of love, the real thing is intensity. Neither awareness matters nor love. What matters is intensity, total intensity. Before that total intensity can happen, you have to be perfectly conscious of your unconsciousness. Man is so unconscious that he is not even conscious of his unconsciousness. One is not aware who one is. One is not aware from where one is. One is not aware to where one is going. One is not aware why at all I am. Why this whole existence is. One simply goes on like a robot, doing things, managing somehow. From birth to death, man is a long sleep. Sometimes dreaming with eyes closed, sometimes dreaming with eyes open. But dreaming all the same. All the time. This situation cannot allow you to invite the guest. In this situation, you cannot know what God is, because God is nothing but the name of the totality. You don't know even yourself. How can you know the total, even the small part of your being? Just a tiny being you are, compared to this great vast existence. You are just a dewdrop compared to the ocean of existence. And you don't know even the dewdrop. And you start inquiring about the ocean. you will have to dive deep into your being. You will have to risk. Why I call it a risk? The greatest risk is to dive deep within oneself. Because when you dive deep within yourself, you come across abysmal emptiness, and it frightens. When intelligence and trust meet, when you dive deep but fully aware of the risk, when you dive into your being, risking all, gambling, but knowing, perfectly knowing that you may be simply entering into something from which there may be no return. You may be dying and there may be no resurrection. Not even a perhaps in the mind. Risking without motive. Risking intelligently, seeing that the a life outside is futile. You have seen it. You have lived it. You have been through it. And enough is enough. You are ready intelligently to risk the inner journey. But remember intelligently, love has not to be blind. Ordinarily, that's what your love is. It is emotional blindness. It is sentimentality. It is not intelligence. And unless love has the quality of intelligence, it is not love. Not the love that Kabir is talking about. God is available to intelligent inquirers. What is intelligent inquiry? The first requirement is to be a little more conscious than you are. Whatsoever you are doing, bring the quality of consciousness into it. Walking, remember I am walking. Not that you have to repeat these words, I am walking. Just remain alert that you are walking. Drinking water, remember you are drinking. Remember it is cool. Remember it is quenching the thirst. Not afterwards. Not when the thirst is quenched. Not when it has become a past thing. But when it is on the way, when the process is happening, when really the thirst is being quenched, not when it has become a noun, but when it is a verb, is still alive, vibrating. Feel the coolness of the water in your throat, the quenching of the thirst. Not afterwards, let me repeat, immediately, not even a split moment behind, eating, working, taking a bath, whatsoever you are doing, bring the quality of awareness. So that awareness becomes soaked in your being, then only you will be able to become a conscious lover, because love is one of the deepest phenomena. Unless you are aware, conscious in your ordinary life, you will not be conscious in your love. And conscious love is prayer. If love is not conscious, it remains lust. And lust can never have anything of prayer in it. You don't know what you are doing. You call your lust love. You call your desire to possess love. You call your exploitation love. You use the other person and you call it caring. You don't know what you are doing. You can't know. Unless you start becoming aware and alert about small things first. One has to learn swimming in shallow water. When you have gone for a morning walk, try to remember. Be mindful. Alert. Whatsoever is happening, don't exclude anything. The distant call of the bird, be aware of it. And the car that has passed by, and a child crying in some house. Be alert of everything, inclusive of all. Just be alert. It will be difficult. Only once in a while you will be alert, and again you will become unconscious. The unconscious is such an old, ancient habit. But slowly, slowly, a part of you will be freed. In the beginning, it will be only the tip of the iceberg. But that is the beginning of a great revolution in your life. And then you can start moving your light of awareness unto deeper things. And love is the deepest. When love and consciousness meet, prayer arises. One has to die first to all that one thinks one is. Then one is reborn, twice born. With God, your life really begins. You start pulsating on a new plane, radiating joy. Your life takes the color of the rainbow. You are all the colors, the whole spectrum. Your life becomes music. All the notes. You become an orchestra. Each moment goes on deeper, becoming more and more sweeter. You start having, for the first time, a love affair with existence. Enough for today.